The first reading today, St. Paul tells us that we are to put on the armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And obviously, this is something that we would all recognize as necessary, but we have to be able to look at the context in which St. Paul was writing and that in which we live. He was writing to Christians who were being persecuted, and he's looking at a government that was corrupt. He's looking even at Judaism, which had become very corrupt at the time. And he's saying, this is the wiles of the devil. He told him straight out, he said, look, our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, it's against the principalities and powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness on high. So we look around at our own situation, and yes, we can all recognize and acknowledge the corruption. It's everywhere. The government, business, the church, the corruption is horrible. It's easy to see. It's easy to point a finger at people. But we must remember to look beyond that, because we have to recognize where it's ultimately coming from. It's Satan using some of these people for his own ends. Ultimately, it's a spiritual battle that we are involved in, not just a natural level one. Yes, it needs to be dealt with on the natural level, just as St. Paul says, our wrestling. So in other words, it's not simply to say, well, look, this is a spiritual battle, give it to God and the angels, you don't have anything to do. Like, no, we have our part to do. We have to fight. But we also have to recognize that it's something that's beyond us. It's not possible by our natural strength and ability to fight against something which is preternatural. The demons are way stronger than we are, and by nature, there's not much we can do to fight against them. But we have everything it takes to fight against them. And that's exactly the point that St. Paul is making. So he says to us that we have to put on the armor of God. Stand therefore, he says, having girded your loins with truth. This is something that probably seems rather self-evident, but we're so accustomed to lies that the truth is something that's become foreign to many of us. The day is coming, in fact, when it is going to shock the vast majority of people to find out that pretty much their whole life has been a lie. Not because they were trying to do that, because that's what's been told to them. That's what's been foisted upon them. All this garbage that we have believed, and it's all been a lie. So we need to want the truth. We need to seek the truth, because the truth will set you free. But the problem is that we're so accustomed to hearing the lies that the truth seems difficult. And we have to realize, based on what I just said, if we're actually going to seek and accept the fullness of the truth, it's almost a 180-degree shift for some of us, because it's all been a bunch of nonsense. And the Lord wants us to have the truth. But because we're going to have to make this major shift in our life to embrace the truth, a lot of people will just prefer to stick with the lies, because it's easier. The devil's the liar from the beginning. God is the truth. So again, we have to make a choice. If we're saying we prefer the lie just because it's easier, we've chosen Satan. So this again is why St. Paul, first of all, says we have to put on the truth. We have to desire the truth. We have to seek the truth. We have to embrace the truth. Then he says we have to put on the breastplate of justice. That word justice would be much better translated as righteousness. And you notice that St. Paul points out that this is the breastplate. It goes over the heart. Righteousness, holiness is about the heart. And that's what we have to be about. That's what our Lord told us. Seek first the kingdom of God and his way of righteousness. That's what we have to be. Seeking the holiness of God. I've told you many times, this is the best time in the world to be alive. This is the best time in history to become a saint. But a lot of people get real scared. We don't need to be scared. We just need to trust the Lord. That's the next point St. Paul is making. Have your feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace. How many people do you know who are at peace? Probably count them on one hand without all the fingers. Because we're not. We're worried and upset about everything. Jesus spoke about that. Martha, Martha, you're anxious and upset about many things. One thing only is necessary. It's not your stupid telephone. It's not your computer. It's not the internet. It's not even your car. It is the Lord. That is what's necessary. If we're going to have the breastplate of righteousness on, that means holiness, living our lives in a way that is godly and righteous. That means it's not just what's in the head, it's what's in the heart. Living it, embracing it, putting it into practice. That's what we have to be about. That again is to be able to look at it and say, what is the priority? If only one thing is necessary, is that how we're living our lives? Is Jesus really the center for us about everything? Is our prayer life really in that kind of condition? If we're going to have peace, there is only one place that's going to come from, and that's prayer. And not just saying prayers, while the rosary obviously is a necessity, it's the mental prayer, it's that silent interior prayer that's going to bring the peace. We need to spend the time with our Lord, just being with Him. Then we can give everything to Him, and we can be at peace. He's got all of this in control. We're not at peace because we're trying to be in control. We're not at peace because we don't trust Him. We're not at peace because we've got so many things that we're worried and upset about, and we don't need to be. God has the whole thing in control. Not only does He have the whole thing in control, He's got my life in control. But guess what I keep trying to do? Take it back. Be in control myself. The more I try to be in control, the more out of control I become. It's the dumbest thing, but we keep doing lots of dumb things. That's our problem. And so we need to learn to turn things over to God. But that becomes St. Paul's next point, taking up the shield of faith. Do we really believe? I'm not saying, do you believe the truth of the faith? I think everybody here believes what the Catechism teaches us. I'm asking, are we putting it into practice? Once again, it goes back to that point of one thing only is necessary. But do we do that? Do we really seek the Lord in His way of righteousness? Or are we seeking our own ways and our own will and whatever it is that we want? Are we really putting the faith into practice? Because that's going to be expressed in a particular way through trust. And how much do we actually trust God? Oh, we are quick with the lip service. But in practice, no. All you have to do is ask yourself again what we talked about a minute ago. How much are you worried and upset? How much are you afraid? To that degree, you don't trust God. If we were trusting God, we would be totally at peace. We wouldn't be worried about all this stuff. But we worry about everything because we don't trust Him. And so we need to be focused on Him. But why are we worried and afraid? Because we're focused on ourselves, not on God. If we're going to put the faith into practice, it means bringing God out into the world. It means putting it all in His hands. It means trusting Him. It means living our lives for Him. But we don't. We live our lives for me. It's all about me in this society. No wonder we're anxious and worried and upset about everything. No wonder hopelessness is a huge problem right now. I've told you many times, what is hell? It's looking at yourself for the rest of eternity. That's all it is. There could be nothing more despairing, nothing more horrific than having to be stuck looking at your own self for the rest of eternity. And yet Satan has been so successful that he's gotten us to do that during time. He doesn't even have to wait for eternity. He's just got us looking at ourselves when we can be looking at the Lord. That's what we're going to do for eternity. If we go to heaven, we're going to be looking at him. So if this is preparation for eternity, the souls in heaven are looking at God. They trust him absolutely. They have no problem. They are completely at faith because God is completely in control. They don't have anything to worry about. They're united with him. Their will is united with his. They're totally at peace. And us? We just look at ourselves and we're totally out of control. And when there's no peace, there's no joy, there's nothing, because we're looking at ourselves. No wonder we're in despair. No wonder we're all filled with fear. Because it's all about the self, not about the Lord. So St. Paul then goes on to say that we need to have the helmet of salvation, the sword of the spirits, the word of God. We have God's word. But once again, do we believe it? He spoke. God cannot lie. And yet so often we don't believe. Now, if we're going to really let this in and recognize what's going on, we first have to see, as I mentioned at the beginning, this is beyond us. Our battle is against spiritual forces that are beyond us. And that's exactly the point that the Lord is making in the gospel reading today. And we need to see this then on both levels. So he talks about this king who decides to settle accounts with his officials, and he brings in someone who owes him 10,000 talents, and he writes it off because the man starts begging him to do so. This guy comes up against his fellow servant who owes him 100 denarii. He won't let the guy off the hook, throws him in jail. Now let's put that into context for ourselves. Bring it into modern day amounts. The deacon over at Holy Trinity was preaching about this a couple weeks ago. You know how much 100 denarii from back then is worth today? $11,000. $11,000. This wasn't chump change. This guy owed a pretty fair amount of money. But you know how much 10,000 talents is worth? $4.7 billion. $4.7 billion. If you make $1 million a year, you couldn't pay that back in hundreds of years. That's the point the Lord is making. It is beyond us. We need to rely on God. We can't do this ourselves. But then we need to bring it back to what happens on the inside. The Lord is talking about forgiveness of sin and tells us that we have to be willing to forgive others. So if we're going to put the faith into practice, we have to forgive from the heart, the Lord said. Not with words, from the heart. So again, it comes back to that point of the righteousness. This isn't something we can do alone. First of all, our sins cannot be forgiven by ourselves. Again, that's the point Jesus is making. Our sins have infinite consequences because they're against an infinite person. So we're not even talking about 4.7 billion light years. We're talking about infinite. That's what God is forgiving us. And remember, when God forgives, he doesn't sweep it under the carpet. He doesn't just push it aside and say, we'll deal with it later. When God forgives, it's gone. He destroys it. He removes it from your soul. he gets rid of it completely. It will never, ever, ever be heard of again, even on the day when you stand before the Lord for judgment. It's gone. That's what he's asking of us. But how many of us are just like this other guy? We see somebody who insulted me, or somebody who did whatever little thing. Oh my goodness, you'd think the world was coming to an end. And if that person did that to you, you'd be just as angry as me. And I'm righteous in my anger because look at what they did to me. That's not what Jesus said in the gospel today. He said you have to forgive as God forgives from the heart. Compared to the 4.7 billion that was forgiven, okay, maybe we have to forgive 11,000. That's pretty puny by comparison. But my goodness, do we get upset over hangnails. Doesn't seem to matter to us if an arm got amputated, that's okay. As long as that's against God, he can forgive that. But the hangnail, oh my goodness, that's a real problem. No, we need to forgive. We need to put it all into practice. That's what this is about. And so we are living in evil days. St. Paul said this is what's going to get us through the evil days. And this is just beginning. People are all upset and worried about so many things. Jesus talked about that. He said, God already knows you. Ask, how, what are we going to wear? What are we going to eat? He said, God already knows that. Seek first his kingdom and his way of righteousness. All that will be given to you, he said. So two things. Do we believe that? And are we willing to seek first his kingdom? Because let's admit it. Whose kingdom do we seek first? Mine. It's all about me again. I want it my way. I want my kingdom. I want. About seeking God's kingdom, his way of righteousness. That we need help to do. Just as we can't forgive our own sins, God has to forgive that and now asks us to treat others as we've been treated. So too, we can't seek the kingdom of God, put our total trust in him and everything without his grace. That's where the prayer comes in again. We need to be rooted in prayer, deeply rooted in prayer. Just ask yourself, what will happen if the churches get closed down again? Because they will. What do? Can't get to the Blessed Sacrament, can't get to confession, can't get to Mass. Where's the peace going to come from? Where's the trust going to be? Unless we have that prayer, we're going to go into a tailspin. So that's what we need to think about as we look forward. Things are going to get really bad. And we don't have to worry about it. God has it all under control. The best thing I can tell you to do is get out of the way. If the building is going to collapse, don't try and hold it up. Let it fall, but just get out of the way so it doesn't fall on top of you. Let God be in control. Yes, we have our part to do. We have to fight. But this is God's. So he's chosen us to be part of this. That's the greatest privilege in the world. So do we want to be? Then we need to do what St. Paul is asking us. We need to put on the armor of God. We need to live saintly lives. We need to be striving for that holiness, for that righteousness, which is God's. We need to have all of these things which the Lord has given to us so that we can live the way that we're supposed to. It's all there for us if we will simply avail ourselves of it. to put on the armor of God so that we will be able to stand firm on the day of evil.